What's up, podcast world? Jeff Bryan's here. Another episode of the Jeff Bryan Show. I still hate the name. Sorry it's been so long. I'm not giving up on the podcast or anything. There's a lot of reasons I have not done one of these. Partially, I haven't found anything all that interesting to talk about. Partially, I've been doing a lot of YouTube reviews. I have a YouTube channel. Anybody who wants to check it out, it's kind of a mountain bike, snowmobile, ski, dirt bike thing, and people seem to really like it, and it does take time to create content there too, so I'm kind of burning the candle on both ends here between that, the day job, and some of the consulting work I do. So I've got some time. A lot has happened, and I think it's a good moment for me to carve out 30 minutes and babble into my microphone. So here we go. What are we going to talk about today? Well, first we're going to talk about COVID. In that everybody around me got COVID. I didn't get COVID. I didn't quarantine from those around me. And this brings up a whole bunch of questions. So we're going to get into that story and really what it's brought to the forefront of my mind with respect to the virus. So that's the first thing. Going to talk about the insurrection at the Capitol. Of course, it's something we have to talk about. There's a lot that occurred, and I think a lot that is being misconstrued by the media. The banning of Trump from Twitter and really every social media platform at this point. This brings up a whole lot of questions and, frankly, not many answers, even from me. The impeachment, or rather second impeachment, what do I think we should do around this? You know, it's a tricky question, and there's really good basis to impeach Trump, and there's a good basis to not, and I'm going to get into that. The stimulus package that Biden unveiled a few days ago, I'm going to talk about that to some extent. I don't know how much anybody cares, but I think it's pretty important we watch this for a lot of reasons. And then I'm going to close with some thoughts on unity. Hopefully unity is something that I try to bring forth throughout all of my podcasts. It's something that it really is in the back of my mind. It should be on the forefront of my mind. And it's really where I'm trying to come from here. Back in my Jeff Makes Less Friends on the Internet writing pieces, I wasn't really trying to make less friends. I was really trying to be a centrist, and not really be a centrist, but come to the middle and show that, like, we're both being silly on both sides, and we really need to find a way to come together if we want this country to prosper into the future, which I frankly really do. I love this country. I feel very thankful to live here, and I want this to be the best place it possibly can, and it's not going to happen without a central message of unity. So let's... So let's start with the COVID-19 story. I apologize if this gets a little long-winded. I don't want to miss any of the nuance because I think it impacts what happened, and it might give anybody listening some insight as to how tricky this really is. So a bunch of my buddies and myself went snowmobiling. At the end of the day, we decided to go to a local restaurant, socially distanced kind of deal. It was early in the evening, and usually this restaurant isn't crowded at all to begin with. Mind you, I haven't done this really at all since it became fall and winter. I just don't do the indoor dining thing. So I say, screw it, let's go. We go to the restaurant. It was pretty empty, but for a bunch of reasons, we were told we can't eat there. So we end up at this point being committed to eating out, and I'm not going to lie, I had a few beers and was thinking, we'll be fine. We go to a local bar, and frankly, they weren't doing any sort of social distancing, or it felt like a normal bar on a normal evening. I knew this was a bad decision, but I was like, you know, I haven't even done this. What are the odds I go out one time and COVID comes into the fray? Well, there were six people around the table. One of them had already had COVID confirmed and had gotten over it. That was about a month ago. So they had immunity. The other five people, nobody had confirmed had COVID. So let's fast forward 5 days from that crowded bar. One of the people come back via group text and goes, hey guys, I have COVID symptoms, going to get tested. They of course came back with a positive test. Two other people at the table also had symptoms on that day. Again, 5 days is about the median number of days from exposure to showing symptoms. So it's no surprise that 5 days after there was a positive or symptomatic people around the table. Myself and my girlfriend did not feel symptomatic, maybe slightly tired. It's just hard to tell, like tired. Everybody can feel tired. That's not a great symptom in my mind. So we end up, quarantining ourselves off. However, this was New Year's Eve afternoon. A friend of my girlfriend's had already shown up at our house for a party that I didn't even know we were going to have. And my girlfriend apparently didn't know we were going to have. Kind of a weird kind of person. Let's just put it that way. We tell her, like, hey, you should probably leave. We may have COVID. And she chooses to not leave, which is the weirdest thing in the world. This does come into the story later. It's the reason I'm telling it. So a few days after this, I decide to get a test just because it seems responsible. So on Monday, I get a PCR test. They got to mail it away. I don't get results very quickly. And my girlfriend that day starts to feel really sick. And Tuesday, she's got a full-blown cold. The whole deal kind of loses her sense of taste, more smell. And it's clear she probably has it. She gets a test Tuesday. She comes back positive. Meanwhile, I still don't feel all that bad. I am quarantining from being around people, but I am doing activities outside. Mind you, I'm around nobody. So I'm able to ski. I'm able to snowmobile with my friends who have already had or had it or are currently quarantining as well. So I'm not around people that I can infect. I want to be clear about that. And I'm able to do things pretty normally. Like, I feel like I have a mild cold. I'm assuming I have it. I'm not quarantining from my girlfriend. And I mean, I'm literally sleeping right next to her. Well, around this time, she gets a call from a friend that was around us on New Year's going, "Hey, I just got a COVID test. I'm sick. I have it." So clearly she gave it to her. Meanwhile, again, I don't have it. I go to the doctor again, get another test. It comes back negative. This was a rapid test. I also get an antibody test. It comes back saying I do not have antibodies. I'm just going, what the hell? I'm going to get it, right? Like, I just must be one of those people that has a long incubation period. Well, fast forward 14 days from my girlfriend basically not showing symptoms and being somebody that would likely not be contagious. And I get another test. I come back negative, and it's very clear that I didn't get it. So what happened? How in the hell am I around somebody with an active case of COVID? I'm around my friends too, because they've come over being like, they just assumed everybody assumed that I had it. I assumed I had it. Maybe dumb thing to think. Maybe that's something we can all learn from this. But being that I just assumed since I was around all these people that I had it, I didn't think to quarantine off from those that were showing symptoms, thinking maybe I skirted what happened to them. But it apparently did happen that way or something. So again, what happened here? First possibility is I really did have it back in February, March. I think it was March. I got super sick. There's a reason I don't think it was COVID, though I did have a lot of the symptoms. Nonetheless, I could have had it then, and it could have been long enough ago that I do not have any antibodies left in my system, but I do have what they would call T-cell immunity. T-cells are a different form of or a different type of cell that constitutes your immune system that is not going to show up in an antibody test but can still fight off a virus. So I could have T-cell immunity. That could be one possibility. Second possibility is I was one of those asymptomatic carriers. Now, we don't know how many asymptomatic carriers there really are. And why this is important is the testing is so shoddy, it seems, that if I was an asymptomatic carrier, there's a chance that, I'm not going to exhibit the viral load in the places they're testing. Therefore, when they do a test, because I'm asymptomatic and I do have it, it's not going to test positive. And being that we did the antibody test fairly quickly, I'd only had it maybe for a few days or a week or whatever. My body hasn't really made antibodies. So the only way to know if that's the case is for me to go get an antibody test now. And that will likely show IgG or IgM antibodies. I can't remember which one is the short term versus the long term. Regardless, I could do that and that could prove it. The third possibility, and this is like put on your tinfoil hat type stuff, is the supplements I take. Those that know me know I had a concussion 12 years ago or whatever it is, and I still fight symptoms from that. And I take a bunch of supplements. Some probably are total placebo. Some do seem to help. I don't know. Nonetheless, I started taking zinc, partially for COVID, partially just for health and whatever. And some of the other supplements I take along with the zinc, there's some, let's call it, there is a hypothesis out there that these other supplements really help put the zinc into the cell. So if that's true, then that would fend off, or the idea is that could help fend off COVID. And there's a gentleman that was on Joe Rogan who talks a lot about brain health. That's really why he was on the podcast. And he was noting in his group of people he treats, COVID wasn't really a thing. It was like, huh, well, maybe some of these supplements I take for my head is actually something that can fend off, or they are something that can fend off COVID. Now, I don't want to be one of those guys that says, this one anecdotal thing happened, therefore this must be the truth. That's not at all what I'm doing. This is the exact pseudoscience I talk shit about, to be honest with you. This is not scientific at all. This is just a story, and it's just putting out hypotheses Is that the right word? Of what could have possibly been the reason that I was around a ton of people with COVID and I didn't get it. This is one of them. We'd have to test all these in a scientific setting using real populations to get any sort of inference out of this. But it's interesting, right? It's an interesting story. And it's an interesting thing that, you know, I can be literally sleeping next to somebody with active COVID coming out of them all the time who did infect another person and I don't get it. That just makes so little sense considering everything we know about this. So, and just to finish this or make this full circle, when I said I got super sick and I don't think it was COVID, the reason I don't think it's COVID is there were two other people around me that got the same kind of sickness and they later did get COVID. Now you could say, well, they had it twice then. It's like, you know, I'm not really buying this, you're getting it twice thing. Yes, there are people that have gotten it twice, but it's a very, very small number of people and I'm going by the odds here. So that's the long story long, let's say, of the COVID episode that I was involved in. And for those wondering, everybody that got it did recover just fine. One of them, I'm not going to say lingering issues, but one of the gentlemen that got it seemed to have longer lasting issues, but I just rode sleds with him yesterday and he kicked ass. So it seems like everybody's on the rebound and everything's going well. So those wondering, yes, despite the doom and gloom, most people do get it and they recover and everything's fine. Even though, like, you know, there's all these talks about morbidity and athletes and you're never going to be the same. Doesn't really seem that's the case. And one of the big reasons it doesn't seem to be the case in healthy populations is those athletes that have gotten it haven't come back and been materially different athletes. You know, I'm sure we're going to learn more about that as time goes on. But I just wanted to be clear that, yes, you can get COVID. Yes, you can recover. And yes, it can be fine. Okay, so that's enough of the COVID talk. Let's move on. Oh, sorry. That's going to be a weird sound through the mic. Let's move on to the insurrection at the Capitol. This was one of the wildest events that I have ever witnessed in my lifetime in this country. I don't know how else to put it. I know it's been a weird and wild year, or 12 months, and this is kind of the whipped cream and cherry on the top. Like, it was beyond bizarre. So everybody that has listened to this podcast probably knows I work in news. So I'm sitting there and watching almost a live blog of this occurring, meaning like I'm just watching tweets, I'm watching news stories, I'm watching everything unfold in real time. And it's a wild, you know, chain of events. So I'm not going to get into the what happened because everybody kind of knows that. I'm going to get into kind of what I think people are missing. So if you don't know what happened, I don't know how you found this podcast and missed it. I'm just going to be honest. So I'm not going to get into that. But you know, it seems to me that this was a group of people that was not nearly as organized as perhaps the media is suggesting. The first thing I think we're getting wrong is this is not an accurate representation of the Conservative Party or the Republican Party. This is a group of fringe individuals that are disillusioned into believing that not only the election was stolen, quote unquote, but they had this ability to overturn it through, I don't even know what, you know, like that Pence could somehow constitutionally change the outcome based on pounding a gavel and saying, I don't buy it. There's just so much of this is bizarre. And it really, I can really draw a parallel to what was going on in Washington, D.C. on this particular day and how leaderless the movement on the left really is, you know, like right on down to Black Lives Matter. People, you know, I know people like to think that's about becoming an anti-racist or illustrating just how racist this country is or blah, blah, blah. But really, it's a very leaderless movement with not a lot of precise aim with respect to what do we need to do to make this place better. It's kind of just bitching and moaning and overly victimizing people. That's what it seems like to me. So, you know, the movement we saw in D.C., again, I think we're giving too much credit to what it was from an organization perspective. It was not a group of trained militiamen that stormed the Capitol Die Hard 2 style. Is that the right one? The airplane one? I think that's the airplane one. And like took it over with like neo-militia means and like clearly knew what they were doing and had like a very precise directive. This was a group of people that were disenfranchised, looking for a sense of community. Yes, there were neo-Nazis there. Yes, there were old ladies that believed that the election was stolen from Arizona. Yes, there were people that were legit QAnon supporters and a Viking in a helmet. You know, it was a bizarre clown show of people. Like, this is not an organized group. This is a result of tensions boiling over and a president that was really provoking these tensions. Now, I don't think he said go riot or go take over the Capitol, but what he didn't do, again, he's supposed to be the leader of the free country, and he had every ability to stop that in its tracks, and he really didn't. The Twitter video, I don't know if anybody caught it, where he came out and gave a speech saying it's time to go home, he opened with saying this election was stolen. I can't stand that sentiment for a lot of reasons. But number one, if you're truly a patriot, you have to at least agree that our court system is something that you can lean into. Is it perfect? No. But when every single court throws out every case Donald Trump brought before it, you have to go, okay, I was wrong. And those are three words that I wish we could adopt and it not be so castrating when you say them. Like, I have been wrong about a lot in my life, and I'm willing to go, I was wrong. And the second you're willing to adopt those three words, it's very freeing, and it's actually very empowering. And if Trump would have just said, hey, I was wrong, it turns out the election, though I don't like the result, is what it is, we must accept this, and, you know, everybody, let's support the president-elect, and let's unify, and let's go forward to make this country as amazing as we can make it over the next 4 years. That's the right message from a leader that loves this country. Not like the election was stolen, but it's time to go home. That is inciting more problems. That's saying like, look, everybody that voted for me, I'm sorry, you guys were all right. We definitely won this. There's no evidence of that. There's literally no hard evidence of that. And you don't have to listen to me on that. You can go listen to, I think, the biggest voice in conservative media right now, Ben Shapiro. He says the exact same thing. So I think we need to let go of these cultish delusions. And that's kind of what Sam Harris was talking about. Those that don't know, I love Sam Harris. He has got a great podcast on the insurrection. And he talks about two things we got wrong on this. And it was one side got one thing wrong and the other side got the other thing wrong. So the first thing that the right got wrong is this is not comparable to the protests that devolved into riots over the summer. They were bad. I'm not trying to say they were okay at all. They were not okay. And anybody believes they're okay, check yourself because you're wrong. On the flip side, the idea that race had a lot to do with this is another thing that was completely wrong. Like, there was nobody shot at any of the, as far as I know, any of the Black Lives Matter protests besides the white kid that shot the, I think, white people. Black people did not get shot in any of the protests that occurred over the summer. Zero. So to suggest that if this was a bunch of black people, it would have been a totally different outcome clearly seems misled, and it clearly seems just flat wrong. Remember, there was a white woman that was shot and killed at the Capitol. So if anything, I think you could argue the opposite, but that's not really what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to suggest that race really didn't have a lot to do with this. It really didn't. And if you want a better articulation of this, I encourage you all to listen to the Sam Harris podcast on this. Yes, you have to pay your $5, and if anybody cannot afford that and still wants to pay, like, you can A, email them and say, I can't afford it, or B, you can just email me. I don't have a ton of money, but I think it's so important we listen to smart people like Sam Harris, who is incredibly liberal, by the way, that I'll pay the $5. It's well worth the listen. So what do we do from here with respect to the insurrection? And this is something I've wrestled with on both sides. So on one hand, I think everybody that ran and overran the Capitol should be prosecuted. On the other hand, I'm like, how the hell did the Capitol Police not get their shit together ahead of this? And I've listened to some podcasts that explain that. Overall, I think this is not a time to dunk on each other. You know, it was interesting. Brett Weinstein's got a great podcast. I'm referencing all these podcasts. And he talked about what he thinks should happen around this. He actually believes that every protester during the course of the summer that was put in jail and had criminal charges levied, and every single protester person that overran the Capitol should also be pardoned. They should all be pardoned is his take. And the idea is that will bring us closer to unity. And I kind of like that. I'm not trying to say this should be a consequence-free type of thing, but at the same time, both sides have fucked up. Both sides have done stuff that was not good. And if we are really looking for unity, we need to stop dunking on each other. We're all on the same team here. And like I said, this is not what happened at the Capitol is not an accurate representation of the Republican Party or our population as a whole. It was the fringe. It is people that believe stuff that is akin to a cult. And I say that on the left as well. So that's my two cents on what happened. And the events thereafter, such as the impeachment and banning Trump from Twitter, I'm going to get into right now. But, you know, again, not a good situation what occurred at the Capitol. Not something we should compare to the BLM protest, because this is the most sacred building perhaps in our country. It's one of the most sacred. And I think we've all got to take a big step back and realize that we need to end all of this, and two rights don't make a wrong, and fighting fire with fire doesn't work, and we need to find some unity here. So let's do that. And if that means you got to stop dunking on people and stop pretending as though you're holier than thou on either side, do it. That's a good way. That's a good starting point for all of us. Okay. So thereafter, two things came to the table. First of all, we got to get rid of Trump from social media. Second, we got to impeach him, or we've got to evoke the 23rd Amendment, put Pence in power, that sort of thing. And interestingly, I'll never forget how Pence unfollowed Trump during this insurrection on Twitter. Like, I thought that was pretty funny, just as like a jab. Okay, so let's start with the banning of Trump from Twitter and really all social media. What does this mean? What do we do? Is it a First Amendment issue? What really should happen here? This is a very tricky situation. I know a lot of people on the right say this is a violation of the First Amendment and this is a big problem. And I know those on the left go, yeah, well, private company can do whatever they want. And he's violated the terms of service for, frankly, years. Therefore, Trump should be banned from Twitter or really all social media. I'm caught because I am a believer. I'm kind of libertarian with respect to my beliefs around what a company can and can't do. I don't believe it's the government's place to say what a company, private company, can and can't do. The First Amendment is designed around speech in a public, you know, government. It's designed around the government not impending on your speech. It's not designed around what a company, a private company, can and can't do. So on the most fundamental basis, it is completely legal for big tech to do whatever they want with respect to Trump or really anybody they see fit. I mean, there are terms of service if you violate those, and it's a very slippery slope. I mean, this is definitely where things get really, really hypocritical. I mean, if you look at some of Colin Kaepernick's tweets from the last couple of years, they definitely incite more violence than anything Trump said. But he's also not the leader of the free world. So do I think Trump should have been banned from Twitter? I actually do. I think he has been so provocative on that platform. And I think he has been kind of like a guy at a bar that's just an asshole, to a point where you're just like, somebody make this guy leave. I know that's a really catty way for me to put it, but we should all expect more out of our worlds or out of the leader of the free world. And he's never conducted himself professionally in that environment. And he has done things that if you were anybody else, he would have been banned. So for that, I get it. But on the flip side, we have to apply those same rules to those on the left. Like Colin Kaepernick, frankly, should have been banned as well. And I'd be fine with that. What I'm asking for is whatever the terms of service are from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whoever, we need to apply those rules universally. And if you're picking and choosing, I think there are grounds for some sort of lawsuit. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. As maybe shaky as that bit of logic is as we apply it toward what do we do, I think a better form of reasoning that can be applied to social media is the rules we're trying to apply to social media largely were written around the time the Constitution was written. I don't think any of our founding fathers ever expected the public square, if you will, to become on this thing called a computer, online, blah, blah, blah. And I think there does need to be some sort of regulation, the same way the phone companies are regulated, the same way telecommunications are regulated. You know, there are things that need to adapt to the modern world. And I'm not so sure that the laws we're applying really were ever designed around what is happening. That's just common sense. So I want Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all these things to be more open. I don't want this mass censorship. I know there's a problem there, but I'm, again, way more libertarian when it comes to the censoring of anything. I think if you're going to say dumb, hateful things, the way to get rid of those things is not to ban them. It's to use the same intellectual firepower that anybody can apply to show how dumb that is. You know, you've got to put the ball into the people's hands that are the smartest and let them showcase to the world why being hateful is bad, why being a Nazi is bad, why being some sort of Marxist crazy person is bad. Like, I don't want big tech to do that. I want smart people like Sam Harris and Jordan Peterson to do that. And that's really kind of maybe what we're really wrestling with more than free speech is the dumbing down of America. Frankly, like these shouldn't be hard concepts to grasp, but it shouldn't be hard to understand that true socialism has killed perhaps more people than true fascism. You know, you can look at Mao's China, you can look at Soviet Russia for examples. So it's like we should be able to show somebody that believes these things in full why these things are so damaging. Conversely, we should be able to do the same to any neo-Nazi. You know, we don't need them to be banned because we should be able to clown them in a way in social terms that they are embarrassed. And if they're not embarrassed, everybody sees why they should be embarrassed. But that revolves around a country IQ above X. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we're trying to fix a free speech problem when really we have an IQ problem or we have an education problem. I don't know. But overall, I would like rules and regulations to be more universally applied. I'd like them to stop skewing things so heavily toward the left. There's no doubt they are. In fact, I had Instagram ban me for a short amount of time. I don't know why. This week, it was taken back pretty quickly, but I have to think it was probably something I said pertaining to this. I got into some talks about geotagging and the racial implications of it, and I'm like, that's bullshit. There is no such racial implications to geotagging outdoor spaces. I'm not even going to get into it here because it's insane. Nonetheless, I definitely think we need more universal application of terms of service, and we need to revisit the laws, the regulations, and everything around free speech as it pertains to this online medium that big tech seems to control but is somewhat public. Don't have a good answer. Not going to pretend I do. Just trying to put the problem out there for what it's worth. Okay, now on to the impeachment. What should we do? What's the deal here? So Trump is being impeached for the second time. As I talk to you all, it is 2 days before the inauguration of Biden. My gut, knee-jerk, whatever, is this is a waste of time. Like, let's work on things we need to work on from the federal level, the government level. Let's not get caught up trying to impeach a man that's no longer president. However, by impeaching him, we do gain something, and that is he cannot run for president again. You know, this was an area I just listened to Brett Weinstein give a great solution to. It'll never happen, but his opinion was Trump should be impeached. Pence would be president for like a day if that were to happen. And Pence should pardon Trump. Therefore, there were no federal crimes that could be levied against him or lawsuits. And he still can't run for president. So it's like this kind of unifying thing that goes right along with and then, you know, Pence would pardon every protester on the left and right that ever got put in jail for this. And then we can unify. You know, that's kind of the idea. I'm boiling this down to the very basics. But I kind of like that. I don't believe having Trump in the political fray any longer is good for the country. I think he is not unifying. I don't think he's the reason we're so polarized. I think he is a symptom of that. But nonetheless, I do believe that we need to we need to move on from Trump, from Trumpistan, just like we need to move on from I don't know how to make woke into a country, but we need wokeism and Trumpism to be a thing in the past. I see no way around that if we're going to unify. And that's one reason I like impeachment. Overall, though, I don't think Trump's going to have any sort of real support. I think we're going to move on. I think enough people have seen his true colors. And I think people want a good conservative candidate. And I don't think that Trump's going to really have a chance come 2024. So thankfully, I think we're gonna end hopefully going in the right direction here and hopefully have a good conservative candidate. I would love that. I'd really like to find a good moderate mix, but God, I'm really dreaming there. So overall, I think we should just move on. I think we should just let this go. We got a ton to worry about, including Biden's stimulus proposal, which was just revealed on Thursday. I don't have any of my notes in front of me as to what it was, but if those wondering, it was like $1.9 trillion. This is another COVID relief package. He's added direct payments to those who qualify, $1,400. That's in addition to the $600 that was already approved by Trump or the administration with Trump in command. So that brings it to a total of $2,000. There were extended unemployment benefits. There were state and local aid. And then there were a couple things I was like, huh, didn't see that coming. The $15 an hour federal minimum wage. Hugely opposed to this for two reasons. A, it's just going to make things more expensive universally. Anybody that thinks companies don't pass down costs to the consumer is completely crazy. And B, it's just going to reinforce the automation problem. So you're going to see more kiosks that are self-checkout. You're going to see, my computer screen went away. You're going to see just less people being in the fray. It puts more incentive to making a world where human labor isn't used. Simple as that. It just from a financial analyst perspective, all of a sudden that robot that I wasn't really thinking about because it was too expensive, it's not too expensive anymore. So I'm just going to do the robot thing. We don't have a robot tax. So, you know, it's just inevitable. That was one of the things I was not happy to see in the stimulus plan. One thing I was happy to see, however, was the money earmarked for the vaccine. I really hope we can get this disseminated. I realize people are still skeptical, but as I keep articulating, we can't make this decision in a vacuum. I know there are risks. However, there are risks to getting COVID as well. Even having my crazy story with COVID, I'd still take the vaccine, even though it's not proven. And I say that it's not proven because it's really not. We didn't have like years of testing to look at long-term effects. And anybody that says it's fully tested is lying to you because it's not. But that doesn't mean that it's not something where we can't weigh the risks and benefits and decide to take it. So again, I would like to see us get this disseminated quickly while we have this window while it's effective. But I also don't want to lie to ourselves and pretend that it's perfectly safe when probably there are going to be consequences to it. I just, at this point, believe the juice is worth the squeeze. That's my own risk assessment. Everybody can make their own. Okay, I think that is enough. I've well surpassed my normal length of time on this one. I just wanted to close with just some thoughts about unity. I just wrote that down. Close with thoughts about unity. This country will never prosper as long as we're at each other's throats and as long as we're looking to dunk on one another and as long as we're playing the identity politics game and as long as we are pretending that our political party is somehow our football team and we can't look at the other side and go, huh, that's an interesting idea or vice versa. We need to meet in the middle. We need to find a way to come together. There's not going to be an America if we can't do this. We can all learn from one another. We can all understand that maybe my worldview is not your worldview. I think me being a person that grew up in Denver and now lives on the Wyoming-Idaho border, more in a rural community, I understand both sides. Even the sports I do have forced me to understand both sides of the political spectrum. And I wish more people could have that experience and understand we're really all Americans. We all have a lot of similar values. We really do at the end of the day. And I think that the toxicity of writing and seeing stuff online is a big driver to this polarization. And I really hope we can see past that over the next 4 years under Biden. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the guy. I'm definitely not the biggest fan of the vice president, but I am a big fan of this country and I really want us to come together. So with that, I'm closing. I hope everybody had a great holiday season. I hope you guys are all staying safe and healthy. And I look forward to coming out with a lot more content in the near future. Like I said, I do have a YouTube channel. If you guys are into mountain biking, skiing, dirt biking, snowmobiling, check that out. It's just the Jeff Bryan's channel. Clearly I'm not very creative with my names, but but that's a whole other part of me. And I'm putting everything I've got on a blog. It is just jeffbryans.com. I know, again, really creative, but that's where everything's going to live for now. Maybe I'll add a power sports / not power sports podcast as well, as because I could talk about skiing and mountain biking and dirt biking and snowmobiling, just like I said, forever and ever and ever. You think this is bad, that would be extra bad. So anyway, I really appreciate everybody listening. The rules back in effect, if you listen to this point, hit me up and I will buy you a beer. Cheers.